Let's turn to Galatians this morning. Going to continue our study on life in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit. And we've been taking a lot of time to really grab a hold of the fact that the life that Jesus lived in His fleshly body, He lived solely by the power of the indwelling Spirit. We know that doctrinally, but you know, when you just stop and think about it, He was a man. He lived totally as a man, warring against sin, warring against all of life's adversities, warring with loneliness, warring with rejection, battling and being tempted with ambitions, all of those things that He endured when the Holy Spirit led Him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He was tempted in every way such as we are, but what? Without sin. Hallelujah. And so we realize that that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us, and He will make alive our mortal bodies. Amen? Not only in the resurrection, but even on a daily basis right now. We're in these mortal bodies. One of these days, immortality, praise God. Amen? Real soon. One of these days, immortality. But in this mortal body, not only meaning that we will ultimately die, but we are dead. Amen. We're dead in sin, in trespasses and sins. This body is absolutely under the power, or I should say the influence continually of the power of sin. In me that is in my flesh dwells no good thing. And so constantly this expression of sin, this carnality is wanting to express itself, this selfness, all of those self sins, self-righteousness, self-reliance, self-sufficiency, self-indulgence. Man, we're ugly, aren't we? Aren't you thankful for the blood? Aren't you thankful that our acceptance is in Jesus? Praise God. Aren't you thankful that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world and is constantly trying to seduce and manipulate us through all of these indwelling, natural, sinful tendencies? And in the midst of that, the Scripture says, the flesh is lusting against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these two are contrary to one another so that you could not do the things that you would. Inside, that voice of the Spirit saying, this is the way, walk in it. The Spirit is willing, but anybody find that to be true on a daily basis? We're just wanting to do right, aren't we? But we fight this constant battle. And beloved, we will continue to live frustrated until we give life, pursuit, priority to this relationship and this pursuit of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that quiet listening for His voice on a daily basis. And if we don't do that, we're going to stay in this constant confusion and, you know, up and down in our experiences. But if we walk and if we live in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So what is Spirit life? What does it mean to live in the Spirit? It means to consciously be giving heed to, listening for that voice at all times. It requires a discipline of the soul, of the mind. We control our own minds. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen. What is that mind? That mind that was in Christ Jesus was one that was always bent toward, I have not come to do my will. How much of our time is spent during the day of coming up with my will? What I have to do, what I want to do, what has priority that's other than the kingdom of God. That's other than fellowship and communion with God. Don't you look forward to the time when truly, not through obligation, don't you look for the time when you would 100% of the time desire to be with God than anybody else on the planet? Your thoughts are taken up with Him. I have bread to eat that you know not of, to do the will of He that's called me, that sent me, and to what? Finish the work. You gotta want it. There needs to be a renewing of the mind. There needs to be a discipline in whatever we have to do to constantly bring this mind under to where it's thinking toward the things of the kingdom of God, thinking toward the things that are eternal, breaking the shackles of all of this world system and all of these natural desires, or seeking first the kingdom of God, His righteousness. Seeking first the kingdom of God, and all the things that we spend too much time on, we believe and know they will be added to us. Amen? He didn't say you weren't going to get them. We're so worried we're going to get left out, that God's going to come up short. We're so worried. We have our two little puppies at home, Beast and Spike. Spike is California cool. He's laid back. Beast is hyper. Beast is the dominant of the two. And you see that carnal nature. I love watching them because it's just like us. Now there's a ritual, and it's when we're eating, they will both come and sit in front of me and know that they're going to get fed. And Spike knows, he's the laid back one, that regardless of what happens, he will get his portion. So he's just like, whatever. And Beast is so afraid that he's going to miss out on something. And in fact, he gets to the place where he's concerned that maybe Spike would get something extra. So he will drive him away. Now, I'll call him, Beast, come here, get your food. He loves food, man. I mean, I'll tell you what. He lives for it. He sleeps for it. He rests to get ready to eat. That's his whole life. But it's funny to watch this, and it reminds me of us. And I'll call him and I'll say, Beast, come here, get the food. And he now is more taken up with making sure that his brother doesn't get it, that he won't come and get the food. He has more satisfaction in keeping his brother from getting it than taking it himself. We get so caught up in worrying that somebody's getting more than us, that we'll chase all that stuff around so that we can make sure we get our part, and miss out on just fellowshipping with Father, of the true treasure of being in His presence, of truly making Him our delight and our rest, and all these other things will be added to you if you'll seek first the kingdom of God. Walk in the Spirit. Live for His presence. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so Jesus then, in walking this life out in the Spirit, he first of all knew what his mandate was. It was very clear to him, I have meat to eat. I know why I'm here. Now why are we here? The whole duty of man. Love God? We all know that. We can quote it. It might be something that should be pasted on our mirror, on the refrigerator, and on the television or the device, maybe on the pillow. And in those four areas, we spend most of our lives. Why are we here? Not only what my priority is, the ever old question of mankind, why am I here? Why do I exist? And we know. Love God. Commune with Father. Get about His business. Be absorbed with the kingdom of God, with eternal issues. And the Holy Spirit's presence will begin to be made more manifest to us than we've ever known. But we're so caught up in this life, and especially in our culture here and in this nation, with the ease of life, the abundance that we have, that we really are not opening our ears to the things that really matter, the things that are eternal. Let's go back for just a moment to the call on Paul's life, and go back to Acts chapter 9 for just a second. I want to peek at one thing there, but just to show you what this call of the Holy Spirit on each of our lives is for. Jesus, when he was called, when he had been anointed of God, and of course, you know, we've looked at some of the scriptures that had to do with that great calling on his life and his ministry. Isaiah chapter 11 verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord will come upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That Spirit is what's going to come upon him. That's what came upon him during his baptism, when the Holy Ghost came upon him and resided upon him. God has that same anointing and that same call for every one of us. There's a purpose in our lives. Before we were formed in our mother's womb, the Lord knew us and had separated us to himself. You know, my concern is that we're so minimizing our necessity on this planet to do something eternal for the Lord. Amen? We talked about it a couple of sessions ago, you know, just about our faithfulness as a community and how through the faithfulness of this fellowship, different people have been touched who've influenced multitudes for the kingdom of God. Because we heard from the Holy Spirit and we were able to, substance gave willingly, gave with cheerful hearts. And because of that, God was able to take that and put it into foreign missions and touch men who have touched hundreds of thousands. I shared with you couple of services ago, maybe it was Sunday night, how Mohan, a man who was greatly supported and his ministry from what David Grant shared, his ministry sustained and launched through much of what we were sending. That was back in a day when churches were giving to the missionaries, and huge offering for a missionary was $50 a month. And I've told the story before, but how they would have to come home and itinerate, and they would go from just church to church to church to church every night somewhere in a different city, trying to raise $25 a month here, $15 a month there. And the Lord just put it on our heart and really believed that we had heard from the Holy Spirit. And I didn't know what Dave was going to do with the money. We found out later. But the Lord had spoken to me, and because of your faithfulness, we were able to do this. And we were sending them $1,000 a month when everybody else was sending people like $50 a month. And because of that, it was able to really have a substantial influence and support of schooling this man and launching his ministry. I shared with you, he's the vice chairman of the World Pentecostal Organization, 67 million people. Don't minimize what God's telling you to do. Amen. When we've given opportunity to give towards some of these efforts, don't minimize, well, yeah, I'll give 20 bucks or whatever. We give in faith. We believe that God is orchestrating our steps and that He has an eternal purpose. We'll study and study and study to look toward what kind of a mutual fund we're going to invest in, and we'll study what the returns are, and we'll study and we'll spend all of this time. We need to do our same time and effort put into prayer and into praise and into thanksgiving for every dollar we put into the ministry and into the offerings, that God is going to do something great with it. Amen. I'm just talking about being heavenly minded. I'm talking about walking in the Spirit, being caught up with the things that are eternal. And so we saw in that session not long ago, just like Jesus, the Spirit came upon Him, and the Holy Spirit led Him to be tempted in the wilderness, and then He returned, we saw, in the power of the Spirit. Well, He was led into temptation and by the power of the Spirit. Amen. How do I know that? Because He overcame. And He overcame by the Word of God that was brought to Him by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Remember the general subject we're talking about. We're talking about life in the Spirit. We're talking about getting to know the Holy Spirit better. We're talking about spending time thinking through the day about the Holy Spirit, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, listening for that same voice that Jesus said the Holy Spirit would speak, bringing to our remembrance all things that He said. We're talking about when persecution's going to come, that we don't have to take thought for what we're going to speak. The Holy Spirit will give us what to speak in that time. Amen? The importance of this third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is not a force. It's a person. He's a person. He has a personality. We saw in our last session that part of this person's makeup was he was grieved by strife and division and bitterness and self-will and self-exaltation that expresses itself among his people. And because of that, the power of God is not able to move the way that we would like to see Him move. Are we ready today to walk in that obedience? We know the scripture says He gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. We're still waiting to hear on our India trip. We had tickets to leave on Tuesday. We haven't heard yet, so we're having to cancel those plane tickets. So now we have plane tickets for Thursday. And if we don't receive that approval, then, and hear from them by Wednesday, then we'll have seen the doors closed at that time. Ron will be going over on Thursday. So continue to pray and believe God. The meetings that are scheduled, in Trivandrum, tremendous opportunity. This organization, and I think we've shared that with you, this organization, they're a group that's been going for like over 80 something years. They have over 300 churches that work with them. They're more a traditional Pentecostal based people, more of the old school Pentecost. There are people who have, according to their leaders, sharing with us, one of the things he's believing that God will do through the ministry that's coming to him is to see a stirring of the people toward the return of the Lord again. And back to a zeal for souls and a true holiness rather than a traditional holiness. In other words, they're just old enough to have become now complacent, stuck in traditions, and they need a revival of the Spirit of God to come in and to stir their hearts. A reminding that the kingdom of God suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Amen. And so as we're believing God for that stirring to take place in those meetings as we go over there, should Ron go and by himself, that he would just be refreshed, keep his hands lifted up. If Father wants us to go, then we'll know here in a couple of days and we're ready to go. We're obedient. I was just sharing with some people that, you know, it's an interesting thing in my life. As I'm looking to see what Father does here, I've never felt, and I've been around a lot of preachers and over all the years, I can say that I've never felt like, Lord, you know, open a door, man. I've got a word for these people and that they need what I have and whatever, because, you know, frankly, I've never felt like I had anything. I'm not speaking here trying to give some kind of false humility. God has used us over the years in different ways. But I am so aware that it's His grace. I never feel adequate. I never feel prepared. But the one thing I can say over the years is I have been obedient. And so when Father speaks, we go. Because of that, I've never had a tendency to go try to kick doors in. In these meetings and the different things that as David was talking and going to Mohan's church and the church in Bangalore or whatever, and as these opportunities are opening up, you look at it and you go, Lord, really? There's 100 people that could do this better than I can do it. And looking at this time in my life, and as I've shared with you before, and I'm just sharing my heart this morning, that, you know, that as I've prayed and Father has spoken to me out of that 71st Psalm, that desire to be used in these last days in conflict with such an awareness of what's lacking. And just a desire to say, whatever you have, Father, we'll do. But I surely have no ambition. Oh, I had ambition years ago. We shared it with you. You all prayed with us and lived through a lot of it. When Father spoke to me and said, I am not pleased with you. You're building your kingdom, not mine. There was a day when, as a young person, you know, ambitious, I am still so full of myself, the pride. Isn't it amazing how you can look at yourself and know, you know, I'm really nothing, but you just can't get away from thinking you're everything? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm important. I should be in preeminence. I should get all of the attention. I should have the reward. I should get that recognition. I'm not perfect, but I'm sure better than everybody else. Anybody ever hear that voice? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. And so trying to find that place of spiritual rest, even in a situation like this of waiting to go to India, it's a very frustrating thing in many ways. And just really spending these last days and just looking for the peace, looking for that real rest in the sovereignty of God and knowing that He's already got it figured out. He'll let us know when it's time. Don't you love living like that? Not knowing? I hate it. I not only want to know, I want to be in control. But to come to that mature walk in the Spirit is to embrace that one aspect that we're talking about here, a divine rest that we can absolutely turn loose of every area of our lives and just say, Lord, Your will be done. Praise God. Amen. I just want to rest in whatever You have for me. Paul said, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. You know, we can't come to a false humility to where when God does use us and is able to be glorified as we obey Him. The Bible says, let him that glorieth glory in the Lord. Amen. So here's the call on Paul's life, and we referred to it just the other day, but I want to go back again. When Ananias was called to go and pray for him, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. We talked about that need for love to be preeminent in our lives if we're going to know the purpose and the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, at this point, Paul was not a hero of faith. Paul was the man that was suspect as to whether this conversion was really of God. Was this something that's allowing him to come in and even bring more destruction and damage to the church? Ananias had heard of this man before and he said, you know, frankly, I don't want anything to do with him. What about when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and wants to send you to the unlovely people? How about when he wants to send you to the people that are a little haughty and you know that when you go to them, all you're going to get is grief and conflict? But do you want to be led by the Holy Spirit? We're praying and asking Father for a love for souls. But are we really wanting to limit it to the environment that we're comfortable in? How many of you are ready, as we shared, to hear that call and the voice of the Holy Spirit to go into Sugar Land and begin to deal with those gangs that are there? I had no idea that they had such influence in this, even in the state of Virginia. It's something that's on the radar of the gubernatorial election. This little group in Sterling. I don't know what they're called. I can't, anybody? Who? Yeah, those guys. What if the Holy Spirit spoke to you like he did to Dave Wilkerson a few years ago and said, I want you to go in there. Are you ready to go? Now see, the other point is we got people in here that want to go. I'll go, bless God, I'll tell you. I'm here, am I, send me. If I'm not sent, I'll go anyway, praise God. And if God doesn't open the door, I'll knock them open. I'm here as God's blessing to the world. Well, you need to hear from the Holy Spirit too. Be still and know that I'm God. Amen? So as we're walking this out, we're coming from both perspectives, both sides of the pendulum here. But are you ready? He'll give the Holy Spirit to those that'll obey him. Are you ready to go? Many of you have gotten to go to third world and had third world experiences in Africa. And, you know, what a grace it takes. Don't forget that with those that have lived over there with Ron and you got Rob and Forb over there now. Pray for them. That culture, that constant grind of third world living, the oppression that's there, the inconvenient life that things we take for granted. Keep their hands lifted up. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to go? Here am I, Lord. Until there's that willingness, we're not going to know that compassion that we're praying for as we head down the streets here in Sterling, or we're going to onto the job or wherever it might be. That we're going as missionaries. How do you see yourself, really? Do you see yourself as a pilgrim in this life? Are we free from that earth-dwelling spirit? Do you go to work as a missionary, as an evangelist? Why are we here? If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. That tells me if we're not having that influence, if that's not the primary purpose for our existence, our lives are worth nothing. You could hear it in the cry, couldn't you, of the wise men? Vanity. It's all vanity. Oh, this walk in the Holy Spirit is a life of excitement, of purpose. It's a life that we know we're not subject to fate. That every day is the walking out of a plan that God has for us. Even when we don't know where these particular steps today are ultimately taking us. There's a rest that God's wanting us to move into. So let me try to get to this main point for this morning. In Acts chapter 9, and we see the call upon Saul's life, and as the Lord is visiting him, and we come into the 9th chapter and we look down at verse 10, and it says, "And there was a certain disciple in Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Behold, here am I. He said, Arise and go into a street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas again." I love it when I read these kind of passages. Did you know that that specific of guidance is available to you? Can I ask you a question? What if the Holy Spirit, you're out doing whatever you're doing, and the Holy Spirit tells you, go to this street, go to that address, go knock on that door, and ask for this man. Are you ready? Oh, that's just me. I can't do that. I've got to go get somebody to go with me because, you know, they went out two by two. It's not wisdom to go alone. It's maybe if these circumstances after work. We would surely have to do it after work, right? He gives the Holy Spirit to those that obey Him. I want this kind of direction in my life. You know, we talked about Ananias being used mightily of God and then never being heard of again. How many of you are ready to become totally obscure in the Holy Ghost? No one recognized, nobody great, nobody singing songs about you. Saul has killed his thousands and you've killed your tens of thousands. You say, well, you know, I really don't have that kind of an ambition. Is it that you just don't have it for the kingdom? Do you have it maybe for your secular life? If you are going to have ambition, at least have it for the kingdom of God. Amen? Go. Ananias, then, hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, tells him what's going on in Saul's life. For there's a man there named Saul, and he's praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. I just love these passages that have to do with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and to see here how God's operating on both ends. If God sends you to that address, He's already operating on the other end. Amen? You remember I told you the testimony about Mike Hines. You remember when God sent him to get that airplane? He's just driving down the freeway. The Lord says, take it this exit, take that turn, go up to that door, knock on the door, tell him he's supposed to give you your airplane. Hallelujah. The part I like is when you go up and knock on the door and the guy answers and says, "What took you so long?" As I've been reading some of the stories of some of these great missionaries, and I love the one, and I won't go into all the details because I don't remember them. But as they were getting off the boat and didn't have enough money to get off the boat, you had to pay to go ashore because they didn't want a bunch of vagabonds coming ashore. And the guy didn't have the money. He said, "What are we going to do?" And the Holy Spirit said, "Get in line." So he got in line, and he's just getting in line to go up there, and the story goes something like this. I don't remember all the details right now, but just before it came to the place of, there were two different stories actually, two different testimonies. One of them is the guy was given the money. Right at the last minute, a guy handed them the money to get off. The other testimony went something like this, that the guy came up there and he said, "Do you have the money?" And he said, "Well, you know," he said, that something along these lines, "you know, I believe that God meets all of our needs, and yeah, God's going to take care of us. And that's not the question. Do you have money to go ashore?" And he just kept boasting in how good God was and how God was going to meet all of his needs. And finally, the guy was so moved by his faith, he just said, "Go on, praise God," you know. And he gets off the boat and goes down there, and people were sent by God to meet them and took them and had already provided housing for them and gave them enough money. Praise God. Living by faith. Amen. Walking in the Spirit. Wouldn't you love that to be your life? Seek first the kingdom of God. And so here's Saul, and we know the story then, how Ananias finally goes and in obedience lays his hands on him and shows him how great a things he must suffer. Verse 16. I guess that's one of the things that in this hour that we're going into, as it pertains to India here, you know, we've heard of all of the anti-Christian sentiment. David Grant told me, he said, "I just want to share," he said, it's a miracle that Ron was able to get this missionary visa, but that's good. He said, "And that's God." But he said, "Don't think for a moment that that's some kind of cure-all." He said, "The area you're going into down there is a very dangerous area." And he said, in fact, that's where he was arrested, right there in that Trivandrum area, and put in prison. It's so tight that even now, even a visitor's visa, people have been turned down who just happened to not be ministers. This one lady was a secretary at a church. And because she was a secretary at a Christian church, she wasn't even allowed a visitor's visa. That's how tight things are getting. I'm saying that all to say this. If the Lord is opening this door, and we know that Ron will be leaving shortly, and if we go, I believe it's because that nation is shutting down. And if Father's moving for us to get this literature into that nation, and that's one of the primary reasons we're going. Many of our books are already being translated into those dialects, and right now, Vino's gonna disperse them through his churches and through the other organizations. On Monday, there will be a meeting, the last Monday there will be a meeting with his men plus all of the other Pentecostal churches, and we're going to be giving them books to take with them and to hand out to all of the pastors so that they'll have in hand literature. Today, you know, people look at written literature and it's like, we got our devices. Those things aren't always going to be available. You're not always going to have power. And these are things that we've just felt following that prophetic word that Willard spoke years ago. To get these teachings in print so that they will survive you. God's so good. As he looked at me and he said, "You're a dying breed. But you see, I look at it a little differently. I look at you all. And I look at our little ones. We got some cool kids, man. And I look at our pastors and our deacons. And that same spirit's in our children. Amen? And it's not a spirit that originated with me. I don't see myself as anything more than just a vessel of God that sat at the feet of great men of God like Ralph Riggs and Frank Boyd. Privileged. And as I look and see our children in intercession and see these young little lives that don't have to grow up with the scars and the pain and the different afflictions that some of us went through, that don't have to be scarred by this world. That's why my heart's so heavy through some of the trials that we went through with some of our youth here just recently. Dear God, you don't have to touch this stuff. You can never get away with it. You can never get your innocence back. Stay pure. Stay free. Be used up for God. You could never be wealthier than having burned out for the kingdom of God and not have two nickels to rub together when you breathe your last breath. Not about accumulating stuff. We're going to leave it all. Isn't that what the Bible teaches? You can't take a dime with you. What's gone before us? What treasures are laid up in heaven? As that song goes, that's so moving. But it depicts the spirit and the truth of the matter. But when all the smoke clears, who are you going to see in heaven that's there because of you? Because of your prayer, because of your giving, because of your testimony, because of your godly lifestyle. I would that every one of us could have this same understanding that Paul had with this call. I'm going to show you, if you follow me, how great a things you're going to suffer for my name's sake. Well, Jesus taught us that in another way. He said, you're going to die daily. Amen. I want you to take up your cross and what? Having denied yourself. I've really looked at some things just recently and sensing that in my spirit and what God's saying to us. And the denying of self and that wanting to walk in a way that's free in the spirit. And it's funny, and I look around and I go, well, man, I got more stuff than I ever had. So Lord, what's the course? What's the direction at this time? And the Spirit of the Lord just keeps speaking to me and saying, listen, here's the hour. The bride is to be making herself ready. And that's the message. And it's very difficult for a rich man to enter into heaven. And that's the message. And we're so rich, amen? I'll go back to the dog analogy. And Lord, as someone that's the overseer of this flock, give me the wisdom to walk out in leading the people of God, this great, in so many ways, this great paradox of the God of abundance and blessing. We're not talking about covetousness. We're not talking about unjust gain. We're not talking about unjust balances. We're talking about God blessing His people. And that understanding in this hour of how to walk in the blessings of the Lord, and at the same time, this ability to walk free from all of the cares of this world. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right? Now, the one thing that you don't do, and we don't do if we're going to live and walk in the Spirit, is we don't then set up some rules for ourselves and self-impose upon ourselves things that the Holy Spirit's not telling you to do. So don't misunderstand when we're hearing these words. It's the Holy Spirit saying to us, listen to my voice. I'll tell you when you need to do this. Amen. Now, you know, as parents with your children, as myself, as a leader before you, the tendency is to be, well, I need to be the example. And we do. But we don't need to be the example through into asceticism or self-imposed laws and instructions, because when you walk in the Spirit, you are walking above the law. Amen? Because the law is for the... So there has to be an evidence of lawlessness in our lives before we apply the law. We're talking about living in the Spirit. I'm trying to help you right now through some of these things, the very same things that I'm wrestling with. I don't want to get back under the law. I don't want to be moving back in that realm of trust in the natural and in circumcision, because then Christ avails nothing to us. But at the same time, I want to be so sensitive that I hear what the Holy Spirit's saying to me, that at the moment His voice speaks, I obey. Part of that here is it's depicted in Paul's life where he says, how great a things you must suffer for my namesake. Many of these things that were accounted suffering for him were those abasements that the Holy Spirit allowed him to walk in. But if we're not careful, we're going to think that walking in the Spirit then is to live a based life that's self-imposed. That's self-righteousness. That's trusting in works. Be ready to abound and be ready to be abased. Amen? And we see that in Paul's testimony, and we'll end with this for this morning, back in Acts chapter 20. Turn over there for just a moment. We saw it spoken to him by the Holy Ghost here. I'll show you how great a things you must suffer for my namesake. And then Paul refers to that in his testimony in chapter 20 when he meets with the Ephesians elders. Now just very quickly, let me inject here again. Remember, we did a lot of study on the Church of Ephesus, so remember who these guys are. Bring up Jesus' teaching in Revelation to the Ephesians church. So let's remember who these elders are. They're mature believers, effectual in their ministry, reached Asia, men that were seekers of pure doctrine. They turned Asia upside down through evangelism. But they were losing their first love. It became a machine. They could just rattle off scripture. They could apply principles. But the Lord just tell them, look, I appreciate all the work you're doing for me, but how about some fellowship? How about some communion with me? Or let's say it another way from a scriptural perspective. Lovest thou me more than these? And so Paul comes before the Ephesian elders and he speaks to them and he said, from the first day that I came into Asia. Now remember, he wanted to go to Asia and was forbidden of the Holy Ghost. Remember that? But he says, from the first day I came into Asia, once the Holy Ghost allowed me to come, and I didn't come out of my own reasoning. See, Paul's logical application was correct. You know, the logical thing is to go into Asia. Look at the resources that are there. Look what we can do to affect through this cultural center of the world, the souls that we can reach. We need to go into, and I agree with the principle, we need to go into the large cities and we need to reach from the capitals, the core, and begin to spread out from there. And that's actually a tactic that Paul used. So he was wanting to head into Asia. He was wanting to head into Ephesus. But the Holy Ghost forbid him and led him to Philippi. Remember that? That little colony. But we saw many times how Philippi became that constant, faithful group of people who were always there as his support base. Isn't that interesting, the wisdom of God? And that verse that we're all so familiar with and is one of my favorites, and I'll pin it and sign it on things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That was the spirit that applied to their support of Paul and his missionary outreach and the fact that under persecution and trials, how God was using their resources beyond their natural abilities as they lived and moved in faith. And so he says, look, he said, from the time that I've been with you, serving the Lord with all humility, verse 19, and with many tears, temptations, that befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. You know, I think when the smoke clears, should the Lord tarry, one of the things that I'm confident of in my heart, as I've stood before you all of these years, is that I've kept back nothing that was profitable for you. We've told you what you need to hear, like it or not, whatever the consequences. And Paul's speaking to this church, and he's reminding them of the call that was on his life, and that this course has been run, and that he was not going to see them again. I've sat and I've wondered at times what it would be like to face that here for whatever reason. That service that would be the last time that we ever address you, and what might be said. And Paul, knowing that he would never see these people again, reminds them of how he got there by the Holy Ghost, and that the words that he spoke to them were profitable, and that he was poured out and taught them publicly and from house to house, verse 20 says. Testifying both to the Jews and also the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, and now I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. But none of these things move me, verse 24. I have finished my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify this gospel of the grace of God. I am pure, verse 26, from the blood of all men. I've not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And so as Paul closes this thing down, how many things you must suffer for my name's sake. He goes over a few of these. He talks about this suffering of an apostolic role and the shipwrecks that he had been in and how many times he had been beaten. And yet you hear his heart right here saying that even more than the beatings and the shipwrecks that he refers to under apostolic ministry, the real pains and pressures and sufferings that he went through was suffering with the saints, the burden that he bore with the church, the desire for them to know and walk in the same Holy Ghost that he knew and walked in. And so as we close for this morning, just wanting to try to project that environment of what we're looking for here in our midst over these next sessions. I didn't want to go into anything specific today because we still have so many people out of town. But I did want to encourage us in this, what it means to live in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be ever conscious. To not think at any time that because things aren't as you imagine them in the natural, or as much of the visible church today projects Christianity to be, we don't hear in the church today about persecutions, about suffering, about commitment, about divesting to sow to the kingdom of God. It's all about more and better and bigger and happy. But if we live in the Spirit, go to Galatians real quick. If we live in the Spirit, let us then walk in the Spirit. Chapter 5, verse 16. And if you then, verse 18, are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. With all of this hunger and desire to be free from this nasty flesh and to be free from the power of this world, don't put yourself back under the law. Amen? Let's be alive in the Spirit. Yes, we know clearly that we're to put off these things and put on Christ, but put it off in the Spirit. Amen. Don't put it off to try to please somebody else. Don't put it off to try to appear spiritual like Ananias and Sapphira. Don't put it off to think that it's any merit before God. Our acceptance is in the Beloved, praise God. But if you're full of the Spirit, ultimately, we will come to that place where these things begin to gradually be put away, that we might be filled and we might move in that power and that Spirit. And this chapter ends in verse 25. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vainglory, and neither envying one another. Father, we thank you this morning for your word, and we just ask you to keep us alive in the Spirit. We thank you that there is a life to be lived that's above the law. We thank you, Father, for a purity of heart and mind that would allow us to walk in that Paul walked in, and know the times of abundance, and then also know that in a moment it can turn and you want us to walk away from everything and be abased. But let it be by faith, and let it be by the guidance of your Holy Spirit, and let it first of all be for your glory. And for all of that, Father, we do give you the praise and all of the honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This morning before we go, Tyler and Courtney are going to bring little Harper, Simone, better known as Sandy. And if the grandparents will come and join us, we just want to pray. I'm so excited every time I see our young people. Thank God for the years that Richard and John have put into our children. Amen? Let's not take that for granted. These little people are mighty warriors. They're growing up. Oh, dear Lord, I wish I could have grown up in this church. Well, actually, I have, but what a blessing. You know, I told Greer this morning, I said, you know, it's interesting as time has gone by. On these weeks when we're off and different things, you know, people used to really make efforts to get back for services. And we took a little, over the years, we've tried to take pressure off and we've tried not to bring judgments and criticize or put pressure. But it's amazing how fewer and fewer people do that. You see, the law can get one response and walking in the Spirit can bring another. They both bring the same response. But one's in power. And that's part of what we're wanting to share this morning. When it's done by the Spirit, when it's done in love and thanksgiving for what God's done here in our midst, and not out of obligation, we've created an environment where the Holy Ghost can really move. Pray about it. Don't judge anybody else. Let's just pray about our own hearts and our own involvement in these different things. We're so desirous of the Spirit of God being mighty in our midst. If the elders will come and we want to pray with Tyler and Courtney and little Harper. Such a privilege. These blessings of the Lord, the heritage of God. Let's stand and we'll just pray together here, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we just believe for your Spirit to enter Harper. Oh, masabaraha katanda satanda. Should you tarry, Jesus, a great and mighty warrior, a handmaiden for the Lord? For Tyler and Courtney, Father, as you continue to work mightily in their lives, that you would give them that wisdom and that grace, that they would know very clearly, that Harper would know that if she follows Dad and Mom, she's going to enter into your presence and she's going to hear, well done, praise God. And so now we speak that peace, Father, into this child's life and upon these parents in the name of Jesus, an anointing, Father, for each child, Father, an anointing for each child. They're separate individuals. They have to be approached differently. Same standards, same truths, but Father, a wisdom to guide these lives. And for that, we'll give you all the praise. Father, we'll give you all the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bring her up here and let's see that precious little gift. Glory to God. Lots of babies. We need more of those, so praise God. Keep it up. Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. A big one.
Look at this dress. Oh, come on. Let's see if you even wake up. Oh, yes. Come on. Yes. Harper, welcome to all of these people. Now you're Harper to all them, but you're Sandy to me. So. We do thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to somebody next to you and say, they're the heritage of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Go in peace. God's love go with you.